Welcome to the SEI podcast series, a production of the Carnegie Mellon Software Engineering Institute. The SEI is a federally funded research and development center at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. A transcript of today's podcast is posted on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcast, and that's plural. My name is Suzanne Miller. Today, I am pleased to introduce you to myself and Marianne Lapham, my colleague. Welcome to our ongoing series exploring Agile principles and their application across the Department of Defense. In today's installment, we explore the third Agile principle, deliver working software frequently from a couple of weeks to a couple of months with a preference to the shorter timescale. And Marianne's over here laughing hysterically, silently.
But before we get into that,
a little about today's guest. That would be Marianne and myself. Marianne's work focuses on supporting and improving the acquisition of software-intensive systems. For Department of Defense programs, this means working with program offices to assist and advise on software issues at the system and or segment level. In addition, she leads research in topics that are germane to software acquisition and acquisition of software-intensive systems, particularly in the Agile adoption in DoD. My research focuses on synthesizing effective technology transition and management practices from research and industry into effective techniques for use in Agile and Lean methods in regulated settings like the DoD. So we're pretty compatible in the way we like to approach things. All right, so Marianne, this is our third podcast about Agile principles. And
if only nine more to go.
There will be nine more to go. And for those of you listening, if you like what you hear today, there are already two podcasts in this series, and we will eventually have all 12, one for each Agile principle behind the Agile Manifesto. As a reminder, the four values and 12 principles of the Agile Manifesto can be found at www.agilemanifesto.org. All right, Marianne, let's talk about what delivering working software frequently really means in DoD settings and how delivering in a couple of weeks to a couple of months differs from what is currently typical in DoD. You want to start?
Oh, where do we start, Sue? Thanks very much for the introduction. As we all know, DoD has been doing software systems, embedded software and IT systems for many, many, many years. And over the years, typically, historically, systems take 2, 3, 5, 10 years. Right now, the current thinking is 81 months is the average time to deliver an IT system. Well, in today's environment, that's just not cutting
it
anymore.
That's a lifetime. That's not a generation. That's a lifetime.
It's a lifetime. And think about it. You know, you buy your new laptop today, and next week something new comes out. Okay, you're not going to spend the money for the new one, but you certainly don't want to wait 5 years to get your next installation of the latest technology. And so there's become evident within the DoD community and the government in general that we need to do software delivery sooner. So how do we do that? That's one of the questions that's being touted around.
And it's not to say that every maintenance upgrade on something takes 5 years, but
no.
The major system
the major systems
have
take
been
an
taking
awfully
a long
time. And the needs change more rapidly than ever before. Your staff comes in with a lot better.
They have better home technology.
Home technology,
than provided,
better skills.
Right?
I mean, you get some first, second lieutenant just graduated from college, and he's got his iPad and his iPhone and his Android toys. And then you hand him an old PC. Basically, he'll look at it and go, clunker.
Yeah.
And so, and the software is not anywhere near. He can't go and get an app off the internet for this. He's like, well, I can do much better. And just
so this principle one that really resonates with people in the field.
Yes.
And people in the acquisition process are trying to figure out how to do this.
Yes, they are.
But one of the things that I notice when I look at this principle and I go, oh boy, this is going to be fun, is that it asks us to deliver working software frequently. And what we see in a lot of acquisitions is we get lots of deliveries, but the early deliveries especially are more documentation, more review meeting, you know, slide decks. And that's a really different focus for a lot of people in the contract settings where, you know, working software comes after all that stuff is delivered. So this is saying don't wait to actually deliver working software. So you've got to really go from a document-centric life cycle and view the world to an implementation-centric focus.
That's true.
And that's a culture change for the acquisition systems also, isn't it?
It is. It's a big change. But one of the things before we get into that change is, okay, I have to go to something more like a working software thing. Well, working for whom? Is it working for the end user? Is it working for some intermediate person?
For the testing group?
Is it working for the developers who are trying to need an infrastructure, and so you develop that first so then they can build the rest of the stuff on top of it? So working for whom is the one question when you're going to do that. But before you even get there, you have to have it ground rules up front. This is not going to be your mother's software.
Your mother's acquisition.
You're not going to get as much of the oversight done by documentation, which is one of the many reasons why it's there. There's got to be a way to monitor these very large programs. And over the years, it's built up from an acquisition standpoint to be a lot of documentation, because then you can see what's going on. People tell you, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I did. Yep, you did what you said, and you move on. Well, with Agile, you do similar things, but you do them so much more quickly that you can't just do all the paperwork first. And it's counter to the Agile process.
And one of the reasons you can do all that stuff first is some of the other principles talk about getting your business people and your developers working together. So you're really changing the relationship so that documentation as an intermediary isn't the thing you're focusing on. You're focusing on getting much more direct contact, which has its own challenges. That's Agile principle number 4. Stay tuned for that blog.
Right. And it's also one of the values, you know, working software over over documentation. Yeah. And of course, when the early adopters of the whole Agile movement started, some of them who didn't understand the principles that well, I may add, said, oh, cool, I don't have to document anymore. And now any coder worth his salt would say, yippee. But no, that's not what it means. It means you do just enough documentation for the system and the environment you're in.
Right.
So you still have to have some, but you have to negotiate with your end users, with your contracts people, your acquisition people, what is just enough in my environment. Right.
Yeah, and can I? And there's conditions that will mitigate.
Yes, there's
what
lots of
kind
conditions.
Of working software. So when we talk about delivering working software frequently, what's the shortest delivery cycle you've seen on a DoD program implementing Agile methods?
Oh, shortest. I've seen some folks deliver in as quickly as 2 weeks.
Okay, and who were they delivering to?
Well, some of them wanted to deliver to the field, and in one case they did that, but that caused different issues. Not that the software didn't work well, but because of the wide variety of people they were delivering, it caused a whole other set of issues, which we'll talk about in a bit. But I've also seen a month to 2 months. And that one, the latest one I saw on that, it was really cool. They delivered the software every month or so, month to 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And they delivered it, well, it was kind of this round robin. It was a very large system, and it had a lot of operational test requirements.
Okay.
So they just couldn't deliver to the end user. They had to go through the operational test. Those guys didn't get cut out. So they deliver a drop to the operational test guys every month, every other month, actually. So they were off. They were
offset by a month.
And then when the operational test guys got done, they would post it outside the program manager's office so people could walk by and see, ooh, that's what we're going to get. That's really cool. And then a month later, they'd get another drop out there, and they go, and they added this to it. It was a display. They showed what the software was going to give them so that they had an idea what was coming. And because it was a small piece of a much, much, much larger system, they weren't going to get the full capability in the operational environment for several years. But this gave them an idea of what they were going to get, and also helped the users say, well, yeah, that's good, but could you change whatever.
Right. So they were able to interact with
the system much earlier. Yes, much, much
normal.
Earlier. And because they did it that way, not only did it give the users a chance to interact, it gave the movement, if you will, doing it in a more agile method. Because it was a hybrid. It wasn't a pure agile because mm-hmm. of the constraints in the environment. It gave them a lot more proponents because they're like, you mean I can get really software that works? Well, that's really cool. Can you show me more? It created a lot of excitement within the organization, which gave them more support and gave them more
ability to deliver frequently. So it created what Bill Novak would call a virtuous cycle.
Yes, it did.
Yeah. And that's important. I've seen that month to 2 months delivering into operational test is actually seeming to become more common. I have never seen anybody try to deliver in 2 weeks on the DoD side. I've seen it in commercial, but not on the DoD. But the trick is understanding, as you said, negotiating who are we delivering to and how are we eventually going to get out to those end users so that they get the benefit of this, not just the test community or the certification
now,
community.
I must say, the one I saw, just to be clear here with for those who are going, 2 weeks, how could you possibly get through all the certification accreditation and stuff if you're in a DoD system? Let's just say it wasn't at that level. It was a very small system. It wasn't a program of record. They had a lot less restrictions on what they could do. And then they got more popular, and then they started to run into those issues.
Yeah.
It slowed them down.
Success can also have its own issues. So when you start delivering faster, what happens in the DoD? So this is the, you know, we've got bureaucracy on the acquisition side, but then we also have our own set of bureaucracy on the operational deployment side. What have you seen? I've seen some things in terms of people not being able to receive the software once the Agile program starts delivering it more frequently. Well, why don't you talk about that a minute?
Well, it's not that they can't receive it. They can get it. But, okay, this one system we know of has about 600 users worldwide. Now, those are entities within each of those user groups. There's probably 100 people maybe.
Yeah.
So 600
organizations,
if you will, with multiple instances within their group. Well, okay, 600 different places. And you send out the software. Now, you could send it on push it, CD, whatever. Whatever's the appropriate from a security standpoint. And if you do it every month, then the guys in the operations have to upload it. They have to test to make sure it's not breaking something in their environment. They have to make sure it doesn't screw up their data. Even though this is all tested, each operational environment, as we all know, is slightly different.
True.
So they get it ready to go, and they put it out there. And then along comes, within a week or two, the next drop. Well, they haven't hardly got the new one out for people to use yet. And so they end up with this churn of, I'm always putting in the new software, as opposed to, I put it in, my users get to use it, they see the benefits, they get ideas of what they want to change next, and then they get another drop within a reasonable amount of time. So a lot of times, the programs that are putting this stuff out there that fast have to negotiate with their end user and say, okay, you can't do it every month, probably not every 2 months. What's the best cycle for you guys? And what they do then is, instead of having iterations that they send, they group them into releases. And a lot of them end up with about an 18-month cycle because it allows the operational community to get it all installed across the board, all 600 installations or whatever number there is, get a chance to use it and shake it out in an operational environment, and then feedback to the developers. And then the next one comes along with more improvements. And it seems to be a good rhythm.
Now, I have heard on one program I talked to that their deployment, they're deploying to mobile devices. Mm-hmm. And in that environment, it seems to be this cultural difference where people are used to accepting, you know, new upgrades of their software almost in the background. And they've actually been able to deploy very quickly because they're not changing their security configuration and things like that. And I find that to be really interesting, that we can get people to accept things faster on mobile devices because we have this
on PCs
cultural
or
kind
laptops.
Of acceptance than on PCs and laptops. But, you know, life is like that.
But it gets back to the culture of people come in their home environment.
Sure.
You know, many people have an iPhone and Android, and you get these little notices, updates available, and you just push the button, and the next thing you know, you've got the new operating system or whatever it is, the new app version of the app, and off you go. No big deal.
Yeah.
And they do it all the time. And some of these people have been doing it all their adult lives.
So one of the things that I think is, you know, delivering working software frequently, it's not just about the delivery. You know, it really is about sort of changing the culture of how fast can we accept change, not only how fast can we produce change. And that's one of the things that's not as highlighted in that principle that in the DoD environment in particular, I think that's one of the things that we're seeing. And it is one of the things that we do consider when we're talking to people about agile methods in DoD and regulated settings, is you've got to deal with both sides of that question.
Right. You just made me think of something. A lot of these environments, it's not just updating the laptop or the PC or whatever it is that's hosting the software, but a lot of the environments, the networks that these PCs are hooked to, there's a whole nother layer of work that has to be done to get it accepted for use on that network and that base.
Sure, from a security
viewpoint. From a security viewpoint, and sometimes from an operational viewpoint. They have very rigid rules on how they're going to do it. And just because the stuff's coming in quicker, those rules aren't necessarily going to change. Now, again, they could evolve over time, but it's something that they're going to have to work on it.
And that's other principles will get us into some
other principles will get us there.
All right, Marianne, thank you so much for joining us today. In the next episode in this series, we will explore the fourth Agile principle, which I briefly alluded to. Business people and developers must work together daily throughout the project. So that will be an interesting discussion, especially in the context of the DoD. If you'd like more information about the SEI's recent research, this and other topics, you can download all of our technical reports and notes at sei.cmu.edu/library/reports-papers, that's one word, .cfm. Listings for papers, blog posts, and podcasts related to our SEI research on Agile adoption and DoD can be found at sei.cmu.edu/acquisition/research. This podcast is available on the SEI website, as I mentioned, at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts, and on Carnegie Mellon University's iTunes U site. As always, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to email us, info@sei.cmu.edu. Thank you.